There are Jews in the world. There are Buddhists. There are Hindus and Mormons, and then there are those that follow Mohammed, but I've never been one of them. I'm a Roman Catholic, and have been since before I was born. And the one thing they say about Catholics is they'll take you as soon as you're warm. You don't have to be a six-footer. You don't have to have a great brain. You don't have to have any clothes on. You're a Catholic the moment Dad came. Because every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great. If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
Every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great. If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate. Let the heathen spill theirs on the dusty ground. God shall make them pay for each sperm.
In the USA and covering the whole wide world. This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Radio goes with life. A salt and pepper, a fork and knife. Radio goes with life.
Get a lot.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm all right.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. Have them answered immediately.
Okay.
Who is your daddy, and what does he do?
Who are you talking about?
Who are you?
Well, who are you?
I'm Detective John Kimble.
Hey, this is a motel.
I'm a cop, you idiot. I'm Detective John Kimble.
Well, if you're a cop, you idiot, come over here and talk to me, okay?
Stop it!
I don't stop nothing, you idiot.
Stop it!
The following podcast contains harsh language, nudity, graphic violence, adult situations, and a healthy obsession with empirical reality. The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
I had to do the extended opening there with the Monty Python thing from The Meaning of Life.
Right.
So so appropriate for this week's topicality.
Topicality? Did
topicality.
You just use the word topicality?
I just did. I just used a Greasemanism. Do you remember? Do you know the Greaseman? The guy? He was a syndicated radio guy called the Greaseman. He used to always say, topicality.
Heard of him.
It's too bad that you didn't get to experience Greaseman.
Oh, I'm sure. My life is all the lesser for it.
Yeah, he was a guy. He was on the radio in Washington after Stern was fired, and then he became nationally syndicated when hot talk radio was popular. And he was famous for all his wacky stories and euphemisms for sex, like sex was known as hobble do gee.
Huh?
It was his word for sex was hobble do gee.
People listened to this.
Yeah, people loved it. Loved it. In fact, he's still on the air in Florida.
Well, that's sorry. Say no more. That's not a surprise at all.
Anyway,
with Bubba the Love Sponge.
That's right. Oh God, I hate that guy. I hate Bubba the Love Sponge. He's terrible.
They all come out of Florida, man. They all come out or go into Florida.
Unbelievable. Well, hey, you know what? Before we get into the topicality, I want to talk about this.
If I could reach through this and punch you, I would.
Well, now, what's your issue with the word topicality? Is that a
euphemism for sex?
I don't know.
Is that your euphemism for sex?
I want to talk about this thing with Ashby on Twitter. Did you see this? This happened right before the show.
Oh, the argument he got into with what's her butt from Raw Story or whatever.
Yeah, Megan Carpentier or whatever her name is.
Right.
And Megan Carpentier from Raw Story, I should mention. In fact, I was on with Megan Carpentier when on The Young Turks with Cenk.
Oh, was that her?
Yeah. She posted a link to a photo that she took. I assume it's, I don't know where the hell it is. It's of a poster that says, it says at the top, it says, "We Empower." And then there's a photograph of three women. And then below the photograph of three women, it says, "Feminism degrades." And then the text below that says, "Radical feminism, promoted by women's centers on many college campuses, claims to be a movement to empower women, but in reality, it is holding women back and keeping them down." That's it. I mean, it's, you know.
No, that's classic right-wing newspeak thinking.
Yeah. So, obviously, Megan is calling this out, calling attention to this ridiculousness.
Sure. And that's fine.
So then what happens is Ashby posts to Megan, in response to Megan, Ashby, contributor to BobSeska.com, replies, where is it here? Oh, ironically, he says, "Ironically, anti-feminists like that are the least attractive women I can think of." That's it. That's his tweet back to Megan. I have no idea why, but she evidently flipped out on him.
She lost her crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting that you bring this up because, you know, I've told you before, it's very rare that anything, especially Twitter feuds, sort of draw me in. But I actually happened to catch this one when it started, and I tweeted Ashby and, you know, kind of told him, like, "Who is she? Why do you care? Who gives a damn?"
Yeah. What she did is, well, I mean, Raw Story's a pretty big deal, and she's a pretty big deal on Raw Story.
Right.
So, and you know, Ashby is on his way up in the blogging world. And, you know, I'm sure he's not interested in making a bunch of enemies, right, especially with people he agrees with. But, so she replies to him, "Sexism against conservative women equals still sexism." So she's basically saying that that he's objectifying the women, right, in the poster
by using the word attractive.
Yeah, least attractive.
She took that as a comment on their looks alone.
Yeah, and they are, you know, it's three attractive women wearing, you know,
so
black.
You can't say that though because it's sexist.
Black t-shirt. Well, but that's the point of the thing. I mean, that's the point of the poster. You know,
if you try to think too hard about this, you should. May I recommend that you wrap like electrical tape around your head because it'll explode.
Yeah, I mean, the whole idea of the poster is to like put this different face on. Well, whatever. The thing is that then she evidently blocked him on Twitter, and then pursued. Yeah. I guess the upshot is that she blocked him, but then they ended up in this back and forth, and you know, of course she eventually said, "Your boners are irrelevant." Here's the full tweet for Megan. "Whether I find people attractive isn't relative / ironic when it comes to their opinions / intelligence. Your boners are irrelevant."
Yeah, great.
So thank you for
shooting that humorless feminist stereotype thing square in the heart.
Of course, what he's saying.
Really in that stereotype.
Right, exactly. Instead of jumping all over him and calling him a sexist, she could have just said, "Well, what do you mean by attractive?" And he goes, "Well, you know, I don't want to know people who are anti-feminists. I don't want to be around them. I'm repulsed by them." So, you know, it could entirely be. And knowing Ashby, that's almost exactly what he meant.
Before she wrote that, I think she said something about, basically something about how he's, you know, he has to when she says that something sexist as a woman, he has to put his white male privilege aside or his male privilege aside or some nonsense like that and just listen.
Yeah.
And that was where, you know, the thing that I said a few seconds ago that I tweeted to Ashby, I'm like, you know, when I and my vagina speak, you will listen.
You know, and I consider myself a feminist, and I don't understand this. I'm having a hard time, and maybe I've just got male blinders on. I don't understand how. I guess, you know what, she could construe it if she had some sort of context for Ashby. Like, Ashby's constantly posting on Twitter these brutally sexist things. And this is just part of a context. But it's not. She didn't know who Ashby is.
No, she just jumped down his throat.
She just jumped to that conclusion. So that was it. I just wanted to dive in here and come to Ashby's defense. Because, I mean, you talk about nice guys on the internet and on the blogs and on Twitter. Ashby's at the top of that list.
But that's the thing that I always complain about. You know, one of the issues that I take with Twitter is that, you know, obviously if you can go back and you can read somebody's feed, or you can, if you're having a conversation with them over a period of time, you kind of get an idea. But, yeah, you fire off a 140-word tweet with no context, nothing around it to sort of, you know, basically in a vacuum. And it's so easy to jump to the wrong conclusion. Mm-hmm. And, of course, then you do something stupid, which is that you knee-jerk react, which is what Megan Carpentier, or TA, did.
And there's no basis in fact whatsoever. And if she actually knew the guy, tried to delve into what he meant, what he was implying by that tweet, instead of just jumping all over him and smearing his name on Twitter.
Who cares?
Calling him a sexist. It was the least, I mean, I've never seen Ashby ever write anything near being sexist.
Yeah, but you don't know that, and you're not qualified to judge because you're a man. Man.
Well, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Well, look, I want to get on to the main gist and the top of the show, an extended top of the show, a bit of audio there to lead into what we wanted to talk about today. And I want to preface all of this by saying, you remember 4 years ago, the big sort of underground conspiracy theory was that President Obama was a secret Muslim. And then he was born in Kenya, and he was raised by a Muslim father who indoctrinated him, and that he was going to enter the White House and become like this sleeper cell within the United States government.
Right, the Manchurian candidate.
And, yeah, and doom us all to Sharia law and blah, blah, blah. There were emails going around. There were things, guys like, what's his name, Bill Cunningham, and all these wingnut radio guys referring to the president as Barack Hussein Obama, you know, emphasizing his middle name. And we now have what I believe is the 2012 edition of that, which is this battle over birth control. And the way that's precipitating is the fact that, you know, they're drawing this into being a, you know, part of the president's war against Christianity. Because he's now forcing, they say, the Catholic Church, any businesses who happen to be owned by someone who is Catholic, now have to provide health insurance that includes coverage for contraception, which happens to be all health insurance now. All health insurance has to cover 100% without deductible, without copay, contraception.
Ooh.
So this is now part of the president's war. This is the secret Muslim, declaring a fatwa against American Christians. American
Pretty soon he's going to ban circumcision. Just you wait. We'll all be forced to have foreskin. In fact, if you've already had a circumcision, he'll make you put your foreskin back on.
What this is a reaction to is jobless claims are down. Unemployment is down. The economy is improving. So this is the best thing that could happen for a Republican Party that is rapidly shrinking and dying. They get something that they can demagogue here. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it shouldn't be. I absolutely think it should be done, and that it should have been done, and the president needs to stick by this. He needs to stand by this position on the Catholic Church. But nevertheless, it's like a perfect storm for the Republicans in terms of things that they can demagogue on the campaign trail. I mean, I get to a quote from Rick Santorum in a second, but this combines, this allows them to continue their war against women, because health insurance isn't about covering condoms. Prescription birth control pills cost.
I use a rabbit foot, by the way.
Cost money and require, a physician's prescription and so on. So this is about birth control for women. This is contraception for women, and this allows so that gets folded into it. They can do the president's a secret Muslim fighting, good Christian family values top down. this is everything that they like. It's got sex in there. It's got, the president wants teenagers to have sex.
At least it's not Clinton who wanted teenagers to have sex with him.
Here's that Santorum quote. They're
Hold
taking-
on, let me steel myself for just a second. Let me gird my loins.
Stand by for this. They are taking faith and crushing it. Why? Why? When you marginalize, this guy just won three states. Just want to highlight that before we really get into the meat of this quote. They are taking faith and crushing it. Why? Why? When you marginalize faith in America, you remove the pillar of God-given rights. Then what's left is the French Revolution. What's left is a government that will tell you who you are, what you'll do, and when you'll do it. What's left in France became the guillotine. Ladies and gentlemen, he says, ladies and gentlemen, we're a long way from that. But if we do and follow the path of President Obama and his overt hostility to faith in America, then we are headed down that road to the guillotine. That road. The road that leads to the guillotine.
Every other country in the world, I mean, every other civilized country has not just a on paper a separation of church and state, but legitimately the subject of religion almost never comes up. In civilized countries, we are essentially a third world country when it comes to religion.
Yeah.
We just, and it's astonishing. And it never gets any less depressing, ever. What, the idea that these clowns believe that somehow all of our ills stem from ridiculous culture issues and the fact that we are not kowtowing to the one true God enough. You're not genuflecting before him. And that's where all of our problems come from. And that really is the way they think. You just listen to what Santorum said. It's that is astonishing. It's astonishing to, you know, I'm looking at my computer screen right now, and I swear to Christ, it says, ironically, I just said swear to Christ, it says 2/9/12. That's the date. It's 2000-freaking-12.
Yeah.
And these people are babbling in ancient superstition. It's just amazing. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah. It really is. It really is. And, you know, you have, again, here, we're talking about the Republican Party and we're talking about Catholicism. I mean, Catholics themselves, 58% agree with this rule in the latest polling. Public Religion Research Institute conducted a poll. So asked, all employers should be required to provide their employees with health care plans that cover contraception or birth control at no cost. All Americans, 55% agree, 40% disagree. Unaffiliated, 61% agree, 32% disagree. Catholic, 58% agree, 37% disagree. I saw numbers earlier this week that showed much higher support from Catholics, by the way. White mainline, 50% agree, 47% disagree. White evangelical, 38% agree, 56% disagree.
Of course.
So there you go.
There's a shock.
We got to take a brief break. We'll be back with more on the contraception topic right after this.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
And we're back.
You were really high on that album this week.
Yeah, I thought I'd go nuts a little bit and do like a YouTube pop theme week this week. You know, it is a great album. I mean, just going back to it, I hadn't listened to it top to bottom in, I don't know, 5-6 years. But it is a really, really solid album. I think the reason I didn't listen to a lot recently was because, I don't know, there's something about the production value of it. They had to rush it through the mastering process in order to get out on tour. So everything, that whole album sounds like it's recorded through a sock. And I think it makes it hard to listen to. But creatively, I think it's one of their best albums. There's some really solid tracks on there. And I mean, I love Mofo. I mean, there are very few bad songs on the album. I don't like Miami. I don't like that song. A Playboy Mansion. I don't like that one either. But
they made up for it by doing New York.
Yeah, that's true.
They went to a better city and recorded a better song.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And their most recent two albums I had to look up what the name of their most recent album, because I had no idea.
No Line on the Horizon.
No Line on the Horizon. That's right. Terrible. Terrible. Just awful.
And then, before that was Atomic Bomb.
Yeah, How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb.
Right, which had Vertigo, which Vertigo was their best single in years.
Yeah, Vertigo was good, and I also like City of Blinding Light. But anyway, you know, I want to get back into this this contraception thing real quick and wrap that up. You know, the one thing that calls to mind in all of this, beyond the demagoguery and the church state, well, this is really a church state issue, and the point I always make in these discussions with regards to the separation of church and state is, as soon as you start blurring that line and religion becomes more and more a part of secular government, that door swings both ways. So if it swings towards, you know, allowing more and more religious influence and specifically Christian influence in government, then government can go back in and start regulating religion.
Oh, but no, it can't.
But no, it can't. No, we can't have that.
But that's the thing. See, you're trying to apply logic to something that there is no logic to. There's no, you know, there's no way around.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
That's not the way they think. They're not trying to think intellectually. They're not. There's no intellectual honesty there. It's just nonsense.
Yeah, you can't rationalize it. There's just no way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can't. You cannot. You can't rationalize with these people because they don't. They exist on a plane where logic and reason don't matter. And oddly enough, you know, you can make the argument that a lot of it stems from their religious beliefs. I mean, they're willing to embrace a belief system that has no.
Is your house on fire?
That's right. Yeah, lovely. Say hello to the Los Angeles Fire Department. Yeah, I mean, you know, they hold tight to a belief system that has no, that requires no evidence of it. And if you buy into that, then it stands to reason, if you can say reason, that you'll buy into anything.
Yeah.
If you can dismiss logic, reason, evidence, chain of evidence, all of that so simply and such a huge subject in your life, then, you know, why not do it for everything?
Yeah, you know, and the other thing about this is, again, much like most of the Republican positions, it has everything to do with what fits on a bumper sticker, what sounds really good in a soundbite, and has nothing to do with sane, rational policy positions. There's no way, you cannot tell me that it is a bad thing, especially if you're anti-abortion, to prevent people from having reasonable access to contraception. And when I say people now, I'm talking about women, because this is all about women. Men getting contraception is just a matter of going to the local CVS and getting a box of condoms. But for women, it's a lot different. You got to get pills. And some women need these pills because of things beyond just preventing unwanted pregnancy. You know, they need them to regulate their periods, where they get very heavy periods or very erratic periods, and the birth control pills help ease that.
They do.
Yeah. I've known several women who have had that situation, had to take birth control pills because of that. And been forced to deal with all of the side effects because they're loaded with side effects, both long term and short term. But it's a better option than dealing with these violent periods every month. So,
that's the name of my next punk band, by the way.
Violent periods. And it's got to have the plural at the end, right? Violent periods.
Please,
plural.
Please, any musicians out there? I play drums. Come on, that's our punk band. Violent periods.
Violent periods. Holy crap. Yeah, you watch.
That's our first album, by the way. Holy crap.
Holy crap.
Violent periods. Holy crap. Guaranteed not to be played on any AOR station.
It's so great. So, you know, this is going to continue. I'm really hoping that the president's going to stand by this decision. Because it is one of the best things to come out of this administration. You look at the long list of successes for this administration, this has got to be up there. Because this does so much to help women. It does so much to prevent unwanted pregnancies. You know, it's a huge leap forward as far as healthcare reform goes. You know, but yet you get stuff like this. I mean, this is the latest news. Top Republicans in Congress on Wednesday denounced President Barack Obama's new rule on contraceptives as an assault on religious freedom and vowed to overturn it as the White House sought to prevent the issue from becoming an election year liability.
That's so, just ridiculous. Well, then, really, I mean, Catholics, of course, especially, are completely crazy when it comes to birth control.
Yeah.
Beyond crazy.
Well, they're going
painfully,
to
immorally crazy, because like you said, if you're someone who doesn't want to see a lot of abortions happen, then it stands to reason, there's that word yet again, that you have to be in some way pro-birth control. But that's not the way they think. They just think, well, people shouldn't have sex. Well, guess what, stupid? They're going to have sex.
Well, I mean, if you're really against, if you're really anti-abortion, here's what you ought to be pushing for. Free contraception. You ought to be pushing for free universal health care for every pregnant woman and every pregnant or every mother up until, you know, let's say forever. I was going to say.
Up until forever.
Exactly. I was going to say.
That would fit in a bumper sticker.
People, and that's your third album. People should have unfettered access to health control, period. But, I mean, if you're going to do it incrementally, let's say pregnant women, free and universal health care, and then mothers of newborns, and then the mothers and the newborns get free health care up until the newborn is 6-7 years old.
No, but we all know that once the baby's born, the Republicans don't give a crap about him.
No, that's right. Because as Barney Frank likes to say, life begins at conception but ends at birth. About the Republicans, he says that. You know, in the story, president met with Senate Democrats, affirmed his decision that he was not equivocating. That's a quote. He's not equivocating on this. Good.
And Representative Louis Gohmert immediately had to go to his dictionary to look up equivocating.
Thumbing through it quick. What? Equivocate. Equivocate. Does that have a C or a K in it? And the Republicans will try to overturn this in the House, and they'll pass something, and the president, it'll either never get through the Senate or the president will veto it. But look, I mean, again, this is all part of the health care reform bill. This is, I mean, we're defending something here that, you know, let's face it, a lot of progressives were opposed to this bill by and large. But when we get into the meat of it, notice that there is a lot of good stuff in there, a lot of positive things.
You're just being an Obama bot.
I'm just being Obama bot. Yeah, screw me.
I swear, I want to get like a little clip here that I have that I can punch whenever you start talking like that. That's got Glenn Greenwald's voice with like a siren behind it. Right. Obama bot.
Obama bot. Yeah, I gotta tell you, I did have a brief exchange with him, and you know, I just want to mention that exchange right after the break. Back after this. Show today brought to you by Bubble Genius, bubblegenius.com. Pure products, pure genius. Bubble Genius, the best damn soap and bath and body products you could ever possibly want. Liberally owned, independently owned. If you're buying your stuff at Bed Bath and that other place, what the hell are you doing? Go to your internets and dial in bubblegenius.com and buy all your soaps from them. It is really not only liberal, independent, vegan, and all of that good stuff, but it's the best soap you'll ever have. And they're gonna start selling. Thank God they're gonna start selling their hibiscus soap again. I'm so happy to hear about this.
You're obsessed with the hibiscus.
It's really, as far as the soap that you have either next to your kitchen sink or the soap that you have next to your bathroom sink just to wash your hands with, it's really the best soap I've ever used. It's a combination of the odor, the obviously soap you want it to clean your hands, does a great job of cleaning your hands without drying them out, and it feels really good. Here now is
in what way? Because I really can imagine like the girls creating a sort of cylindrical shaped hibiscus bubble soap for you. Enjoy coming back from the other island and finding you, shall we say, cheating on her with the soap.
No, it's like rippled. There's like it's
got. See, like I said, it's rippled.
It's ribbed for your pleasure. That's right. Which the Republicans are against that, by the way.
Of course they are. Sex and fun and pleasure.
Here's the latest word from that. Here's the latest from Bubble Genius.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
When you go to Bubble Genius, put in your promo code that you will only get on this show. I don't even post it on the blog. The promo code is BOBANDCHEZ. That's Bob and Chez. And you get 15% off your entire order from BubbleGenius.com. It's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year, or at least to as long as the soap
lasts. Especially
to
you, apparently.
Yeah. God, I've got that giant, gigantic basket of hibiscus soap in the bathroom just waiting to be used. I think out of the – literally, it's a gross of hibiscus soap, and I'm down – I think I'm down to 141 bars left.
Wow.
That's going to last me like 3 years. So great. Got to love Bubble Genius. I just wanted to mention this brief exchange I had with Glenn Greenwald.
With His Majesty.
Yeah, who was again trying to claim that the president was trying to close Gitmo. I mean, he was saying that the president kept Gitmo open, like he decided leave Gitmo open. I said, no, he wanted to close it, and the Senate Democrats stopped, everyone in the Senate stopped him, everyone minus two or three people. But including Bernie Sanders and Russ Feingold, who voted to not fund the closing of Guantanamo Bay. And so then he went off about indefinite detention and the president. I said, you're not going to get me to defend the president's position on indefinite detention because I don't agree with it. But I'm not willing to take, you know, four or five issues and write off the entire Obama presidency when there are far more issues that I agree with. And then, you know, his guys, his people came in and started haranguing me and hectoring me on Twitter, to which, you know, one guy said, well, those four or five issues are important. I said, well, yeah, name a single president who you agree with on all the issues. Just bring out my usual talking points. Sure. I have an arsenal of like five or six things I say in certain situations. And,
well, you know, funny that coincidentally, Glenn Greenwald has an arsenal of like maybe three topics he writes about over and over and over. Right. So you guys are even.
I don't feel so bad. I don't feel so bad.
And last time I checked, at the very least, you kind of are looking for solutions and trying to make the country a better place. Glenn's just bitching to hear himself bitch.
Well, look, you know, again, I'm all for holding the president accountable. Let's just do it in a way that's reasonable. The same standards that we hold all presidents to. We don't write off the entire FDR presidency because he annihilated two entire cities of Japanese people with a bomb that he developed. You know, Truman pulled the trigger, but it was something that FDR initiated and funded based on a letter that he received from Albert Einstein. All right. So we're not going to write off the whole FDR presidency because of all the people he firebombed in Tokyo during World War II. What about all the people that were, all the civilians that were killed in Europe during World War II under Allied bombs? You know, these are things. What about the entire race of people in the United States, U.S. citizens who were indefinitely detained on American soil in concentration camps?
Settle down, Beavis.
But yeah, right. But FDR is this liberal lion who could do no wrong because of the New Deal. And I'm saying, well, look, yes, that was a great thing. The fact that he won World War II was a great thing. These were all great things. We've got to take presidencies based upon the best things versus the worst things. If there are more on the best pile than there are on the worst pile, then the best pile wins. And there you go. There's your historical legacy for President X. There's more bad things than good things.
I would vote for a President X.
Cool. President X.
President X.
Watch it. Megan Carpentier is going to come after you.
That's right. She actually gives a crap about me. Probably, probably just about as much as I give a crap about her.
So, yeah, but you know, I mean, again, with Glenn, you know, he and I have had friendly exchanges.
Just to be awful, I'd probably start, like, lobbing Mel Gibson-type names at her. just to be a jerk.
Oh, God.
Did you see Shock, like, kind of eviscerate very quietly Greenwald?
No.
Go to Shock. Just go to Shock's site. He's basically posted a lot of the sort of back stuff, the backstory and the back stuff on. He wrote a really, really long piece about it, sort of taking Greenwald and Hampshire to task for some of the things that they've said. But his Twitter exchange that he, you know, whatever your chirp story, I don't know, whatever the hell that thing is, the thing that records all of your tweets.
Yeah, sure.
He posted that, and it's interesting to see because really very, very quietly and very sort of, you know, without a lot of malice, without a lot of yelling and screaming and histrionics, he just very quietly challenges Greenwald, and Greenwald really can't come up with a thing. And it's kind of a thing of beauty to watch.
Oh, that's great. I have to go check it out. Because those are always good. Because, you know, Shock, he's one of these guys who just starts, and then he's like a pit bull. He just doesn't let go.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't – the best part about it is that, you know how I feel about Twitter feuds. But the best part about it is that it doesn't really feel like a Twitter feud. There isn't the anger and the outrage – at least not coming from Shock. There isn't the indignation. There's just Shock saying – I'd like proof of this because you keep making this claim. And it's Greenwald having a hissy meltdown.
That's going to be good. I can't wait now. I got to go recheck that out.
Hey, Greenwald's typical piety.
One last quick break. Back after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
By the way, it's Thursday, February 9th. Listen to this show on deep delay. If it's like Monday or Tuesday of the following week, we're recording this on Thursday the 9th.
Where it's 73 and sunny in Los Angeles.
And it's,
but that can be any day.
Yeah, that's right. It's every single day. I love that LA story.
Absolutely.
So it's where it's like 58 degrees. Temperature got all the way down to 58 degrees. How did you cope? Just brought the dogs inside. Wow. Brought the dogs inside. So there are a number of other things I wanted to talk about. And you, as a former CNN producer, might appreciate this one. Have you read about Roland Martin yet?
I have.
You have.
He's the guy who he did Laugh-In, right?
Yes. Roland Martin's Laugh-In.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Now, Roland Martin is a guy. He kind of pops up during election coverage. He sits on those panels. He during the Super Bowl, he tweeted some highly questionable things. And I'm going to read those tweets. He said, who the hell was that New England Patriot they just showed in a head-to-toe pink suit? Oh, he needs a visit from Team Whip That Ass.
Why wasn't Team Bad. Whip That Ass in the Super Bowl? You got to imagine they'd be pretty good.
And then he says on Twitter.
Right, because, by the way, nothing is gayer, incidentally, than, you know, I'm going to whip your ass. That guy needs to have his ass whipped. And Roland Martin's just the guy to do it.
I'm just the guy to do it, right?
He needs a visit from my hand.
And then he tweets, if a dude at your Super Bowl party is hyped about David Beckham's H&M underwear ad, smack the ish out of him.
You know, again, you take it completely out of context. You take it 140 characters at a time. And, yeah, it sounds bad, but it actually can mean a couple of different things. You know, he could just be commenting on, you know, guys who are really into, you know, metrosexual types who are into underwear ads and care about that kind of crap. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. You know, I mean, it may have been virulently homophobic.
Yeah. Well, which I think it is. I think both of these tweets were homophobic. I think this was all about, you know, anything that looks vaguely effeminate at your party, kick the shit out of. And I just said shit on the radio. I gotta. But yeah, I mean, I think that was pretty homophobic of him. And
it might be, but I mean, again, you know, you're talking about a bunch of people get up in arms, and by a bunch of people, I mean GLAAD. GLAAD is very, very, you know, infamous, famous for doing this. For responding anytime somebody says something that they don't like, whether it's Tracy Morgan or, you know, anybody who makes a comment that they find offensive, they freak out. And then that person a lot of times loses his or her job and has to go on, you know, go groveling for the board GLAAD to make amends. And I have a real issue with that. I do. You know, I mean, look, I don't like Roland Martin at all. I think he's a freaking hack. But to take him off of CNN, to create a public outcry and have, you know, sniveling Sam Feist retreat really quickly into a corner and pull Martin off the air. I mean, you know, that's a hell of a reaction to something that you are not 100% sure what his intentions were. And a real, real problem when it comes to our sort of age of outrage in this country, that we often look at intent, you know, I say a lot, I put it up on the blog. Intent versus, I think Patrice O'Neill actually is somebody who say this a lot too, and I like a lot as a comic. Intent versus impact. You know, you really do have to look at the intent, and really, like you said about Ashby, like we said about it, you have to look at the intent, not just the impact. Because impact is however the hell you take it, whatever you infer, whatever your knee-jerk reaction is. Mm-hmm. You know, dig just a little tiny bit deeper and find out what the actual intent comment was, the intent of the person who issued the comment.
Yeah.
Before you lose your crap and pull somebody off the air, take away somebody's livelihood, or, you know, turn that person into a cultural pariah.
Well, this was, I mean, let's not deny this here. I mean, this was a dumb thing for him to do.
It was incredible.
I mean, he's a media guy. He knows he's under scrutiny. It's like Anthony Weiner. Nothing is in and of itself wrong with what Anthony Weiner did other than, you know, cheating on his wife, which is a personal thing. It just makes him look like an ass. But I mean, nothing is absolutely offensive. It's about what happens around it. And
That's the entire nature of social media now. We constantly, you know, God, I've written a couple of pieces about this. Even lately, I reposted one. We now do without thinking. You know, it used to be you made a snide comment at a bar or you said the wrong thing or something inappropriate. You know, four people would hear about it. Now you have the ability to say the first thing that comes to mind and have that comment go far and wide. It will come back to bite you in the rear end.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're always on camera. It's a pretty good analogy. We're always on camera now. Each and every one of us.
Well, that's right. I mean, we were talking about it on the after party last week. We were talking about how Facebook and social media have become part of relationships.
We share everything. We share every single thing. Every little ridiculous thought that comes into our pea brains, we have to throw out there into the ether.
Yeah. And God help you if you're doing it while you're drunk, because then
I do that all the time.
Then it's worse. But I mean, this is
drunk
where
Facebook and tweet constantly. I mean, I haven't done it in a while, but I used to do it quite a bit.
There's, I mean, beyond, I think, the homophobia of it, and you know, GLAAD is allowed to do whatever GLAAD does, and it's all a matter of how people respond to that. You know, GLAAD is protecting gay rights by making sure that any whiff of homophobia, considering the hatred and violence that is done towards gay people all the time, the discrimination that they face and so on. So they're advocating for those people. And that is
an excellent thing to advocate for.
That's all.
Absolutely. 100%. I agree with that over the moon. But what you can't do is be bullies.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, I think this falls in the lap squarely of CNN and Roland Martin. First, Roland Martin should be careful. I mean, if you're in the public view, you just got to be careful with what you do. Say what you want, but be prepared to face the consequences. You know,
true.
Say these things. If you're Anthony Weiner, do whatever the hell you want with your underpants and your camera phone. But be prepared to face the consequences and understand that what you're doing is stupid. Understand that what you're doing is you're giving food to the media to run crazy with. Understand all the repercussions on down. Meanwhile, you also have CNN facing what I think is a bit of hypocrisy.
Oh, a huge amount of. I know exactly where you're going with this, too.
Yeah, where, you know, Roland Martin gets suspended, but Dana Loesch gets to stay on the air. Eric Erickson, am I pronouncing correctly? Dana Loesch, is that it, or is it Loesch?
I don't know.
Eric Erickson. Now this
I've read her and I've seen her face. Generally, when she's on, I have the volume turned down. And I don't think I've ever heard them actually introduce her, so therefore, no, I don't even really know her name.
Well, Eric Erickson is a contributor to CNN. He's also the founder of Red State, that awfulness over there. It's a blog. It's like a group blog. Eric Erickson is just one of the wing nuttiest of the wing nuts. Here's some examples of things that Eric Erickson said. And this was prior to and during his employment at CNN. He called David Souter a quote-unquote goat-effing child molester.
Right.
He also wrote, at what point do the people tell the politicians to go to hell? At what point do they get off the couch, march down to their state legislator's house, pull him aside, and beat him to a bloody pulp for being an idiot? Later in the same post, Erickson added, were I in Washington State, I'd be cleaning my gun right about now, waiting to protect my property from the coming riots or the government apparatchiks coming to enforce nonsensical legislation.
See, the idiot thing is funny, though, because idiots are not a protected group. We all know that in the United States, idiots are not a minority. If he had changed the word idiot and said they, he should be beating them up for being gay or for being black, then he would be in big trouble.
Yeah. Here's another quote. Is Obama shagging hookers behind the media's back? I assume not. I assume that Obama's Marxist harpy wife would go Lorena Bobbitt on him should he even think about it. But I ask the question to make one simple point. Barack Obama, like Elliot Spitzer, is a creation of the liberal media and, as a result, could be a serial-killing transvestite and the media would turn a blind eye. Still on the air. Still on CNN.
Yeah, I mean, I think to be on CNN, that's ridiculous. Do I have an issue with what he said? Actually, I don't, because, and I've said this before. I think I wrote a piece a while back where I got really sort of angry about it. I think it was when ABC was going to use Breitbart in some of their election coverage. And I used the example of Eric Erickson, and I said, Erickson is a flamethrower. He writes incendiary crap like that. But it's not a lie. It's just his opinion. We all do that. We all voice our opinion in that horrific, adjective-filled, crude and crass way, because that's the internet allows for it, and that's how we get page hits and we get people to listen to us and how we vent.
Yeah.
My issue with Breitbart was that Breitbart flat-out lies. I don't care when somebody like Erickson says something like that, because that's just his opinion, and I get to disregard it because it's nonsense.
We all do it. I mean, we all get incendiary. It's a matter of consistency, though, on behalf of CNN.
It is exactly. It is consistency on behalf of CNN, and I agree that people who say those sorts of things should probably not be given a voice on CNN.
Now, I'm not saying that we've said anything even close to discussing getting your gun, cleaning your gun, and getting it ready, and beating the crap out of politicians.
No.
And
no, that's domain of the right.
That's a different thing. You're talking about
the crazy eliminationist rhetoric. That's strictly strictly the domain of the right.
And they suspend what? Rick Sanchez gets suspended.
Yeah, Sanchez should not have been suspended.
Yeah,
and I don't just say that because the guy's my friend.
Roland Martin suspended. I don't even remember what Sanchez got suspended for.
Sanchez got suspended because he said that. Well, he's. He basically intoned that the Jews control the media.
Well,
Octavia
who
was one of the really, really big shots on the international desk, got fired, I think, for sending out a tweet that when I can't even remember who it was. I wish I could, and I apologize for not knowing. When some big time Hamas cleric or something like that died, she. because amongst all the other terrible things about him, he happened to be someone who was mildly progressive when it came to women's rights. She mentioned that on Twitter in a positive light and was lambasted.
Yeah.
And lost her job over that.
But again, I mean, stupidity is stupidity. And if you're in the public view, you just kind of, especially when it comes to Jews and media, you just don't. I mean, if you think you can do it without getting some sort of backlash, that's just not smart. A couple more things to talk about as we get close to wrapping up the show. Ron Paul. If there's any progressive fans of Ron Paul remaining, what the hell is wrong with you? Just want to get to this little bit from basically Ron Paul wants to eliminate public lands. So goodbye, Department of the Interior. With it, 400 national parks, 500 million acres of surface land that's free and open to the public. Goodbye. No more national parks.
Hoo-ha cherry soda.
Hoo-ha cherry soda. A pretty goose for you. Uh-huh. And a pretty racing car. This caught my attention. Just by way of a poll, a record low of 10% of Americans. 10%. Approve of the job Congress is doing. That's down from 13% in January. And the previous low of 11% recorded in December 2011. 86% disapprove of Congress, tying the record high for disapproval set in December. Democrats and Republicans' approval of Congress are equally low at 11% and 12% respectively, while 8% of independents approve. 8% of independents approve. And, you know, in a certain way, though, American voters kind of screwed themselves. I mean,
we
chose these people. If you voted to overturn the Democratic control of the House of Representatives and the Senate, this is partly your fault.
Yeah, but people don't think that way, though.
No.
They don't. They think in terms of they don't like the job that Congress is doing, but that doesn't mean that they don't like the job that their particular senator or representative is doing. It's tunnel vision.
Yeah. Well, but I guess in the bigger picture, though, we can only be dissatisfied in ourselves in a way, because we keep every election season, people start screaming about throwing the bums out.
The American capacity for self-deception is unrivaled.
Well, that's exactly right. And so what we do is we say, let's throw the bums out, and then we get in the voting booth and go, I like the guy I know. I don't like this other guy who I don't know. So we're just going to keep electing incumbents. Oh, and by the way, you know what? Screw those Democrats. We're going to vote in a bunch of Republicans and make it even harder for anyone to get anything done. And because we just love gridlock. We want Republican Congress, Democratic White House, Democratic Senate, and just utter nothing. A big nothing. And then, then when nothing happens, big, you know, fist waving and indignation and, oh, God, Congress sucks in all kinds of ways. We just got to, I mean, America doesn't need to wise up. I think if there was one, if I were to come up with one sort of, promotional phrase to embody everything I do, everything I write about, it would be Americans need to wise up.
Get smart.
Again, you go down the entire list of everything. Now, we're all in favor of healthcare reform until it's time to actually do healthcare reform. We're all in favor of green energy after Al Gore's movie. And then it's time to get something done. Nothing gets done.
Our attention spans are very short.
Yeah. It's really repulsive. It's really infuriating. And, we get what we deserve. We get what we ask for.
What H.L. Mencken said.
You want a Republican House of Representatives? Good luck to you.
What is it? Democracy is the notion that Americans know what they want and deserve to get it good and hard.
Yeah. And they're not even really looking at it either. There was a new study, came out, some polling shows. Most of the people don't even know what the Republican candidates stand for. They have no idea what their policies are, what their plans are. You know, they basically know the horse race details, who's winning, who's losing, who's closing the deal, you know? But they have no idea. No idea what's actually happening behind the scenes in terms of policy. So, pull the lever.
It's because you've got Chuck Todd and Mark Halperin doing their mutual masturbation session.
That's right. Oh, God. Oh, I wanted to mention Chuck Todd. I think we've got a few seconds here left. I'm going to get to it. I don't want to get off on Chuck Todd. But suffice to say, he spent the entire Super Bowl just discussing policy, strangely enough.
Right, exactly. I saw that tweet of yours. Very clever.
We're going to be talking more about the Super Bowl and things like that during the after party, which is coming up next. Make sure to subscribe. It's only $6 a month. Tell all your friends about it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Drive safely. And we'll see you on the after party, Chaz.
See ya.